Hi, friends. Welcome to the Scripture Society podcast, where we help women on their journey of knowing and loving Jesus more and more every day. Our hope is that we can help you tell a more beautiful story and grow in your knowledge of the one who wrote it. Hi, Kylie.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I'm so excited that we're in season two.
Literally season two.
I can't believe that we finished season one and now we're actually doing a season two.
No, I can't believe
Round of applause for us. Because who would have thought?
Insert clapping. I know, it is crazy. Like, the idea of starting a podcast was weird, but then when it's like, when people ask me about it now, it's like, oh, well, we have a whole season out. That's insane.
That's crazy. I'm like, oh, yeah, you can actually, I don't know if you want to listen to it, but you can.
But you can. You can.
And now you can watch it.
And now you can watch it.
So hopefully if you're like doing laundry or walking around and you just want someone to keep you company.
We can.
Here we are.
Apparently.
The Society Girls.
This is it. Yeah.
So that's fun.
Yeah. So we're excited.
Yeah. Okay, I have a question for you.
Okay.
If you could throw unlimited budget, okay?
Oh, unlimited budget?
Unlimited budget, unlimited location, space, what themed party would you throw? Like, any theme? Does that make sense?
Yes, it's just so different, though, when you say, like, I could basically have whatever I wanted, no budget, no nothing. Like,
yeah. Sorry, is that too much freedom?
No, I'm just thinking, like, oh, my gosh. Okay, let me think. A themed party.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I actually was going to do a themed birthday party this year. I don't know if I'm still doing it, but I just feel like I have to give that as my answer because I was already thinking, like, in this season of life, this is what I need to do. And this year, I wanted to do a gigantic bingo party.
Okay.
Like, huge.
Do tell.
Like, I wanted, like, bingo cards. And every square had, like, my face on it.
Okay. Yeah.
And I wanted to, like, give out, like, a bunch of prizes that all kind of had to do with, like, me.
Yeah. So the bingo is answering questions. So it's, like, a you theme.
It's a me-themed bingo.
Okay.
So it's, like, Fun. Okay, you get bingo, and maybe, like, you won my favorite book. Like, maybe you didn't want it, but you learned something.
But you learned something about you.
I don't know. I just, like, I love bingo. And people don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And also,
bring back bingo.
Yeah. It's just fun and easy. And I'm like, I just thought it'd be a fun birthday party. And the best part is you could invite anyone to it. Coworkers, friends, family. It's an all ages thing.
That's so true. Your grandma.
Your grandma.
Your little cousin.
Yeah.
Who's 5 years old.
So that what I was thinking.
Tell me more about this bingo board. What sorts of things would you put on your bingo board?
Well, it would still be like normal bingo.
Right.
But I think all of them would be like different. I would have to take pictures of me making different faces.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like every single one is like.
See, I guess I was thinking like this, instead of having numbers, you would have symbols of things related to you.
That's so good. Because
I serve in the kids ministry at our church. So we play bingo a lot. We bingo a lot.
Oh, well, that's so nice.
And each bingo, instead of numbers, like we did a Christmas themed bingo and it was like a little snowman, a little Christmas thing, a little, you know, ornament clip art.
So no, that's a much better idea.
What would your clip art be?
Well, I feel like one would be, like, my dog.
Yeah.
One would be, like, my cat.
Yeah. Yeah.
A book.
A book, obviously.
Kyle, probably.
Kyle. Maybe, like, a sword.
Oh, a sword would be good.
For sure.
I would like a sword.
Or a dagger,
yeah, perhaps. And then maybe, like, a can of Dr. Pepper.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. And Taco Bell. Taco Bell.
Yes. This is what makes me. Nothing else.
The Lord.
Yeah. But then it's, like, it feels weird to be, like, one of my symbols of my bingo card is, like, a cross.
Right next to the Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Oh, that's
mine. What would be yours?
Oh, gosh. I'm very excited about a upcoming themed party that I cannot reveal yet. So
it's secret.
So I shan't. But I think some sort of, like, I love the idea of either cooking together or writing letters together.
That's cute.
So I think like some sort of letter, love letter, party.
But like, really, so lots of people come and they all just write love letters, and what you have like lots of craft supplies.
Yes.
To make them like as romantic as possible.
Or like, they don't have to be love letters, but they can just be silly little letters.
That's cute.
A silly little letter party.
You just pass them out to so many people.
I think really what I'm trying to do is I just got my typewriter fixed.
Oh, so you just want an excuse to use your typewriter.
Yeah. I wanted an excuse to use my typewriter. I got my typewriter fixed. I got at an estate sale for $25. Did I spend a lot of money to get it fixed? And I could have just like bought another typewriter that already has
experience.
But it's like, I'm a huntress. Oh, I'm so sorry, Kyle. He's going to have to edit that out. I just totally knocked the microphone. So sorry about that, Kyle.
We use our hands
a
lot.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm a huntress. I hunted and gathered that typewriter.
The modern day
estate sale.
That's crazy.
And then I went and I had to like gather another person to fix it for me.
Yeah.
Shout out Mary for fixing my typewriter.
That's an impressive skill.
Yeah, it really
is. Like, oh, I fixed typewriters.
And the font is so cute. It's like this 50s, 60s little cursive font. It's adorable.
That's precious.
Yeah, so basically any themed party where I can offer my typewriter for letter writing services.
Yep. That's precious.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yep.
Well, we have a new theme for season 2.
You know what other letter... You know what other love letter?
Oh no! Love letter to us?
Oh no! Okay, so.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
No, that was a great
The Bible is not a love letter from God to you. It's, okay.
Yeah.
The Bible.
But for the sake of the joke.
But for the sake of the joke, it's God's love letter for you. I was actually going to go first in the direction of like Paul's epistles. But
then, because they're letters.
Yeah. But then I was like, people say that the Bible is God's love letter to
people
you.
People do say that.
And unfortunately, we're here to correct all your misconceptions. That sounds really mean, actually. We're not here that.
No, we're not.
If you've never read the Bible before and you're scared, you're frightened, I understand.
We're here for you.
We're here for you. It's scary. It's like an ancient text, and it's the most significant ancient text of all of history. And so if you have no context for that and someone's just like giving you this book and are like, hey, this is going to change your life. And then you open up to a page and it's like Zebedee did this. Like, you're not going to know. You're not going to know what significance that has.
No.
So
yeah.
This is kind of our help. I've never read the Bible before.
Yeah.
Episode where we just kind of strip it down to the basics and kind of help. I was supposed to talk about like the season.
Yeah, but that goes with it. So, like, this episode, we're talking about, how to read the Bible as much as we can in, like, 30 minutes. But it kind of falls under what we want to kind of go through this whole season, which is first part, how to read the Bible, lots of different things in that we're going to discuss that we're really excited about. And second half is kind of, like, spiritual discipline. So all of this is kind of under this umbrella of like the art of spiritual formation.
Yeah.
So Olive, can you kind of explain like what we mean when we say that, when we say spiritual formation?
Yeah. So spiritual formation, I think, is the first thing you have to understand about it is that you are currently being formed by something and or someone. And so for Christians, our whole journey with our faith is the attempt to be formed in the way of Jesus or to become like Jesus. And so historically, that process, which takes a lifetime, is called sanctification. Now, John Mark Comer has really popularized the language of saying like being formed in the way of Jesus, which I think is really helpful language.
Yeah, I like it.
And so the idea that, you know, you are currently being discipled or you are currently being formed or sanctified. You're being changed and shaped in some way, either by the culture, your phone, or something that's leading you somewhere.
Right.
Or if you're a Christian, hopefully you're being formed by the Bible, by the church, by Christ himself.
Right.
To try to become more like him one day.
Yeah.
And so the art of formation is sort of like, okay, how do we do this? How do we become like Jesus?
Yeah, what does it look like?
If that's our end goal, how do we do that? And so the first couple episodes of the season are going to be all about how to read the Bible, why the Bible is important, maybe some misconceptions or ways that you can read the Bible better, because the Bible is the formation, or is like the foundation of spiritual formation, meaning that like God has given us in literature form, in a tangible form, his word and his instructions, his directions, his stories, the story of the church. Like it's a book of everything that he's given to us so that we may become more like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so that being the foundation of spiritual formation is wonderful. But I do think that there comes a point in your faith where, not that the Bible stops being transformative, because the Bible is absolutely transformative, but where you need to start getting the head knowledge that you have from the Bible into your heart and into your body and into your actions and your practices.
Yeah.
And so what does it look like to take the things that you learn when you grow in your knowledge of the Lord? How do you take that knowledge and put it into your habits and your actions and your practices every day? And so Jesus outlines in the Bible some spiritual disciplines or practices that can help us fight sin patterns in our lives. And so that's what I'm excited to get into is talking about how like sins of pride can be combated by sins of discipline, like fasting or solitude or self-control, and how we can use these disciplines and these practices to help us not only grow in our faith, but like actively fight the sin patterns that we're struggling with. And I think it took me a long time to think of spiritual disciplines like that.
Right.
And it was a super helpful tool to me and my journey of like realizing, how do we actually become formed in the way of Jesus?
Right. Yeah. I'm excited too, because for the first time we're having guests on this season.
Yeah.
So we've invited some people in our lives that we think do some of these things we're going to be talking about really well.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of us kind of speculating on some areas where we're still growing in, going to these other people who have not necessarily reached the best point of it, but are really good at it.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. I think those are going to be some good conversations. But yeah, today we're just going to talk about, how do you read the Bible?
Yeah.
If it's new to you, maybe it's like, maybe it's not new to you, but you grew up in the church, but still you're taking it seriously for the first time.
Yeah.
So yeah, that can be scary. Like you said at the beginning, that it's really daunting. What are kind of some of those things that maybe you have felt, or that you've heard other people talk about, have felt like obstacles or like challenges, things that kind of get in our way from like really going in deep and reading the Bible?
Yeah. I mean, I think that the way I like to frame Bible reading is sort of three ways, and that's Bible intake, meaning you're just reading the Bible. You're just getting it in, whether that's like Bible in a year or listening to the Bible or whatever. You're just trying to get the Bible in your brain. You're trying to read broadly across the Bible so you can intake that information. And then there's Bible study, which is like when you're sitting down and you're really digging deep, you're breaking out the commentaries, you're breaking out the, you know, websites and the all the question forums and all that stuff to really dive deep and figure out, okay, like, what did this mean to this people at this given time? And what was it saying for this? And how can I understand this? This didn't really make sense to me. What does that mean? And you're really digging deep. And then there's Bible memorization. So it's not only intake and studying, but it's the process of trying to write the Bible onto your heart. And I think that's also equally important and something that I have struggled with in my life. I honestly have not really done anything to strengthen my memorization skills, but I think it's so important because the Holy Spirit can't draw on memory that is not there. And so if you haven't read or like memorized the Bible when you're in a moment where you want to encourage someone, the Holy Spirit isn't going to have much to draw on. But if you are actively practicing memorization, like the Holy Spirit will be so kind to bring that up in conversations and use that to encourage other people. And that's not to say that God can't do whatever he wants, but it's an invitation to us to minister to other people when we memorize, not only intake the Bible, not only study the Bible, but actually have it written on our hearts for ourselves and for the ministry of others. Yeah.
And
so I think that like challenges can come up with each of those things.
Yeah.
I think that one of the biggest obstacles to deep Bible study is that people don't believe that they're actually smart enough to do it themselves.
Right.
I think that Jen Wilk Jen Wilkins says it all the time, but we've become curators of opinions about a book we haven't ourselves read. Mm-hmm. So people will listen to sermons, or they'll read commentaries, or they'll do a bunch of other stuff, but they don't actually know how to read the Bible for themselves and form their own opinion on the Bible, and interpret it and understand it in its correct context. So I think that Bible study, one of the biggest obstacles is that like people just haven't been taught how to do it.
Yeah.
Without these like secondary sources feeding them the information.
Yeah. Simple things too. Like I feel like when you're on the side of what you're talking about, it seems like, oh, you need to know so many things in order to do it.
Yeah.
And then when you're on the other side, you realize, oh, wow, it's actually some simple things that I was just missing. It's just, it seems so hard and scary.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping we're kind of going to be able to like tear down that barrier and make it seem like, okay, it's hard because it's good hard work, mm-hmm. but it's not hard maybe for the reasons you thought.
Yeah,
you know, so totally. I think that that's definitely one of the big things. I think sometimes people too, like, they're like, oh, I don't like to read in general, or mm-hmm. I'm not an academic person, like those things. And I understand, I get it, but at the same time, it's like we live in a world today where you don't have to be those things to still be in the word.
Yeah,
you know,
it's never been such easier. A blessing. Yeah,
yeah. And so I think, and we also have to realize that this is not just any book.
Yeah.
I think that I know a lot of people who don't read books who love reading the Bible. It's just kind of, you know, pushing past things like that and letting the Lord use his word in a way that might surprise you.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. What other barriers do you think?
I think a lot of people think that they don't have enough time. And that's something that I am very convicted of, because I'm a chronically busy person.
Yeah.
A little bit too busy. And I think that one thing that I did one time when I was really struggling with discipline and when I was really struggling with getting in my word, but also just reading in general, because I'm a big reader and I love to read, and I wasn't reading as much as I wanted to. And I really felt like it was affecting my memory and just my brain function, because I was on my phone all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And my attention span was so much shorter. And I noticed that like parts of my personality were not the same. Oh, I wasn't as like articulate. My brain wasn't operating as fast. I wasn't recalling words as quickly as I used to. And so I kind of did this challenge where for a week, instead of being on my phone, I looked at my screen time and I saw how much time I spent on particular apps or on my phone, and I tried to replace that with reading time. And so I like deleted everything off my phone, and I just wanted to see that if for a week I read, and I wasn't even reading the Bible, I was just reading whatever random books I wanted to, like, how would that change me? Would I be able to, you know, quicken my brain functioning speed or my memory, or become more articulate? And by the end of the week, I felt like myself again.
Yeah.
And I was more witty. I was funnier. I kind of felt like I got my personality back. But I noticed the biggest thing I noticed was like how quickly my brain was recalling words and recalling thoughts. And I was able to articulate my thoughts so much better just because I was reading. And so all of that to say, I think that if you say you don't have time, just look at your screen time.
Yeah, you have more than you think. It's crazy.
And just see how much time can be dedicated to being in the Word. And I'm someone who's not a morning person. Mm-hmm. And so everyone who's like, yeah, I wake up early and have my coffee with my Bible. And I try to do that. And on the days I do that, it's so fruitful.
Yeah.
But also the time at the end of the night where I'm laying in bed with my Bible, just like reading and just like getting it in and getting the Lord's word in, and like being prayerful, like, Lord, just, I know that nothing that your word does not return void. And so I'm just believing that, you know, even though I'm exhausted right now, I'm reading your word knowing that it's not going to return void. And so I think that that's like another big thing. But that's would challenge anyone who thinks that they don't have enough time, that you do have time, but it's just not prioritized or organized in a way that's most conducive to the art of formation.
Yeah.
And so it's a big step to make time to read the Bible. I think that's probably the biggest step in the journey.
Yeah.
Is making it a priority and making it carving out the time in your day to do it every day.
Yeah. I think too, exactly what you just kind of touched on, is sometimes people think it has to look like something specific and that can lead them to never try.
Yeah.
Exactly what you just said, like, oh, it has to be in the morning. Mm-hmm. It has to be over an hour. It has to be
this deep this study, and this. Yeah.
And then because they know, oh, I can't do one of those things, then they just like throw it out altogether. Or even if you've been trying and you think it's not what it should be, you know, you could give up. So, you know, I think that's something I've been learning. It's just that like any time with the Lord is time well spent, yeah. and he sees it that way.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's a good thing to think of too. Yeah. So
and I think another thing too, Jen Wilkins says this all the time. She's the queen of Bible literacy. So mm-hmm. if you have more questions, definitely go look up anything she's done and it will be helpful. But she says that sometimes we treat the Bible like we treat everything else, expecting instant gratification. You know, we can order groceries to our door. We can order anything we want and it get Prime shipped to us immediately. Yeah. Like we're so used to living in a day and age where any piece of information we can find with a Google search.
Right.
But when we read the Bible, sometimes it doesn't immediately feel like it's giving us what we want or need. But it's not supposed to. Because reading the Bible isn't primarily about us. It's about us learning about the God of all creation. And there's something so sweet and slow about being patient with the Word of God and asking the Lord to reveal things to you as you're reading it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not going to always feel like you got the emotional shot that you wanted to.
Yeah.
But knowing that every time you read the Bible, it's like you're putting – this is Jen Wilkins' illustration. You're putting – you know, this knowledge into a savings account.
Mm-hmm.
And so over time, compound interest.
Right.
You look back and you realize like, oh, wait, no, I actually do know a lot mm-hmm. about the Bible. And, you know, a couple months ago, I didn't know anything about the Bible.
Yeah.
And so just being faithful with the little things, even if you don't feel like you're getting something out of it every day, knowing that over time, you'll be able to look back and be able to draw on the knowledge that you've stored up.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think too, you know, so we can talk about these challenges, which I feel like probably everybody relates to at least one of them, you know, at some season. And so what I think we want to do next is kind of go through what are some ways that we have learned to read the Bible that have been helpful in kind of tearing down some of these barriers that have shown us that it's not as hard as maybe we thought it was.
Yeah.
And there's a one process in particular that I know you and I we think is very effective and we have it in our resources. We use it personally. We use it sometimes when we teach. So I kind of want to go through that and just kind of talk through it briefly and hopefully to kind of shed some light on how could you start today?
Yeah.
Yeah. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Hi, friends. Just wanted to take a quick break from the podcast and say thank you so much for listening and for supporting our ministry and the work we're doing here at the Scripture Society. A lot of people have been asking for other ways that you can support, and the best way that you can do that is through prayer. Just praying with us that our resources would be helpful and impactful for women in the pursuit of knowing the Lord. Another way that you can support us is by checking out our shop on our website. We also have a Patreon community that you can join. There are options for one-time giving, monthly giving, or for signing up to receive exclusive resources and products and special podcast episodes made just for you. We just thank you so much for your support. We couldn't do this without you.
So the first part of that process is observation. So before we get into it, I guess I should say there's three parts,
mm-hmm.
observation, interpretation, application. And there's actually different variations mm-hmm. of this process. You can hear it switch out with other words, and sometimes they add on a few steps. But one that we've been using is observation, interpretation, application. So observation is exactly what it sounds like. And sometimes this can be the hardest step, which is so interesting
it
when you
really
like read
is.
What it is. It's like, oh, piece of cake. Because we were all taught it in school.
Yeah.
It's like exactly how you're taught to read books. But it's literally like, what are you looking at here? Without giving it meaning that, you know, it's not necessarily saying point blank. So that could be like, what are words that you notice? What are there characters in mm-hmm. what you're reading? Like, who are the people? What are the places? When is this taking place? Really simple, like, what are you observing
mm-hmm.
here? Yeah. Do you have anything else to kind of add to that?
Yeah. I think another great question you can ask for the observation piece is you're not trying to get to application.
Mm-hmm.
You're not trying to make it about you. You're just trying to observe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was happening mm-hmm. when John was writing this epistle to the church in Rome?
Right.
Like, what was the context for that? Knowing that this is an epistle and a letter to them, what was maybe something they were struggling with in that time?
Mm-hmm.
And just like making really simple observations, like, what does this mean? Like,
yeah.
he says, you know, gosh, he gives an instruction. Okay, what does that instruction mean? Like, mm-hmm. very, very simple, elementary comprehension level mm-hmm. pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that it's funny because when we read the Bible, we can think that it's a lot harder than it is. Mm-hmm. But if you've been in school, you've been taught some basic rules of literacy, and those same basic rules of literacy apply to the Bible.
Yeah.
So just like imagine that it's a little paragraph, a little comprehension paragraph. Mm-hmm. I think summarizing in this step is super helpful.
Yep.
If you can read through a section and rewrite it in your own words, literally just what's happening.
Yeah.
You know,
like, yeah, just what's happening.
Just what's happening. If I remember doing those little exercises in elementary school, just the comprehension piece, and then giving yourself time to so that you know you have your grounding in the scripture, and then you can move on to interpretation.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because there's always more than you think mm-hmm. in this step. Like, for example, when I took hermeneutics in seminary, which is like how to read the Bible, the first assignment I did was they gave me one verse and I had to make 25 observations about the one verse. And that means you're not like bringing your outside knowledge in to help you basically understand what's happening. And this was not a big verse.
Yeah.
It's a small verse. And I had to make 25 different observations. So I'm not saying you have to do that, but there's more there than you think. And as you do it over time, you'll get better at it.
Yeah.
And it really can. You can just start very simply with like who, what, when, where, mm-hmm. like exactly what Olive just said. You're just getting a good understanding of what's being said so that when you move on to understanding why it's being said, you know, like the right questions to ask, right? Yeah. So it's a good place to start. It's hard for us because like all of a sudden we want to move on to application. We want to move on to, well, here's a question that I have. I need to answer mm-hmm. it. I want to go look it up. And it's really simply, it's just like, slow down, look at it, make sure you understand what's being said, and then you can move on to those like deeper layers.
What it means. So how would you tell someone to go about the interpretation stage?
It is hard because it's like this is probably the stage people are scared of.
Because
this is like the meat of it.
I
have a few questions that I like to always tell people that are kind of in this. One of them being basically, so you've observed, now you're in this interpretation phase, and one of the first questions I ask when I read a text is what does this section teach me about God? Mm-hmm. So basically that means what attributes of God are visible in this section. And sometimes it's easy because it'll be like God says that he's loving or just mm-hmm. or whatever, or Jesus does something like kind or generous. But other times you're having to look at underlying things like the way somebody responds to something. What does that show you that they believe to be true about mm-hmm. God? So it's kind of like this deeper level. And the reason I like asking this question is sometimes we can study a section of the Bible without ever having learned something about God from it. And that's like not the point, you know? Yeah. So I feel like it's always a good place to start with what is this section teaching me about God? Because what we believe is that the entire Bible is teaching us about mm-hmm. God. So I like to start there. And again, this is something, it's hard at first because this is like a muscle that you're probably not used to flexing.
Yeah.
But it helps with time. And that's why it helps to know what the attributes are. Mm-hmm. I'm not even in a sense of like you have them memorized, but more like, okay, maybe you have a list next to you and you can know kind of what you're looking
for.
What's
an attribute?
An attribute is like a characteristic of God. So like loving, kind, all-knowing, all-powerful, sovereign. There's a lot of them. We have a list on our website, and even that list is not comprehensive, you know? So there's so many, but it's a good place to start because sometimes we're raised only knowing a few, and God is so much bigger than those few.
Yeah, it's infinite. The list is infinite.
Yeah. So that's one question I like to ask. I also like to ask, where do you see Jesus or the gospel in this? And that can be hard because you're not always going to see that specifically in every mm-hmm. section. But if you know to be looking for it, you won't miss it when it does pop up.
Yeah. It's not something that you want to force, but it is a great question to be looking for.
To be aware of. So those are two that I like to start with. Do you have any that you usually throw into this step?
Yeah. You know, I really like those questions. I think I also think of interpretation because I really get interpretation and application confused. But I think of interpretation as like sort of the investigative phase.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So like the observation is just like the simple, what can you pull from the text that's right there? The interpretation or investigative mm-hmm. phase is when you're really going in and investigating the story, investigating what's happening. Again, I love what you said about figuring out like, okay, man, why was this so revolutionary at this time? Let me go and figure that out.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that's where you can really start asking those questions.
Yep. Yeah, digging in.
Yeah. And so I don't know, that's just a helpful way for me to frame this stage too.
No, that's good. This is also where, like, you would make sure you have space to ask questions.
Yeah.
Like, don't move on so quickly from, like, if a little question pops up, it's like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Give yourself space to look at the question and to, like, really think about it. And another thing I'll say is you shouldn't be using resources until the very end of this step. So give yourself some space to wrestle with your questions. The learning process is so important. And if you were to ask a question and just think, like, even if it was like you don't know what a word means and you were to immediately Google it, you're kind of missing out on this, like, opportunity for you to maybe flex some, like, study skills, or even you might already know. But, like, if you're so quick to, like, go and look, you're kind of missing out on this, like, growth.
Yeah.
So I would say that this, there is an aspect of interpretation that is going to resources, commentaries, things like that, but it should be last.
Yeah.
Double checking work you've done.
I'm really bad at this. I'm not going to lie. It's hard. I really like just going to my favorite commentaries or going to my favorite resources, and I have, like, my study Bible, and it has some really good quotes from, it's the history study Bible. It's my favorite. It's my favorite study Bible. And it has a collection of all the best notes from theologians and pastors and preachers from all across church history, which is amazing. And so I love using that.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, also know that there's freedom in this too, because it is so helpful to learn how to do these and to, like, give yourself time and space. And that's something that I want to grow in too. But if you're just starting studying the Bible, like, not just intake, not just memorization, but actually studying the Bible for the first time, you know, feel free to, like, use these steps, but also use the resources that the Lord has, like, created outside of the Bible for you.
Yeah. And you should use resources.
And you should use resources,
yeah,
you know, so give yourself some freedom with it. Allow yourself to be interested by the Bible.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to be, ask interesting questions about the Bible.
Yeah.
And just see and observe what are the things that interest you. And oftentimes the running themes that you see in the Bible that are interesting to you is something in particular that God is trying to speak to you.
Yeah.
And so just, like, follow where he tugs your heart in his word.
Yeah, be curious. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, when we're reading the Bible, like, even if you're not an academic person, we're reading as students.
Yeah.
We're learning. We're reading to learn. So, you know, if that's something that's hard for you, just give yourself the time and the space to, like, be familiar with it, you know? Yeah, resources are so important. What we never want to do is, for the sake of the learning process, never double check our work.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Like, we want to make sure that what we are believing about the Bible is true. So this is an important phase. And I would also say it's important in community. And that's what we mean when we say resources. Those resources are part of our community.
Yeah.
Even that's what great. We're doing here, this is community, you know, like, studying with other people, being a part of Bible studies, texting a friend, being like, hey, I read this verse, this is what I'm thinking, like, what do you think about it? Those things are important. And this is such an important phase, and it's in the middle, because you need the first part of it in order to do the second part well, but you cannot just be done after interpretation. It has to affect your life, which is what all of us talking about earlier, and saying that when it comes to spiritual formation, we read the Bible, but ultimately we read the Bible so that we can live how God created us to live.
Yeah.
So that's why application is worth the wait to be at the end.
Yes.
So that we can do it well and we can do it appropriately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that we're so used to Bible study curriculums or devotions taking us straight to the application first.
Yeah.
And so that's automatically what we've been trained to jump to, but then you miss... you miss a part of the story of, like, the Bible is not about you primarily.
Right.
You're a secondary audience to the Bible.
Yeah.
And so if you jump to application, then you're missing the original intended audience and purpose of a given text. And it's really important to have that context.
Yeah, it is.
So that you can properly apply it to yourself.
Yeah.
Because I think we've talked about this before, but I think one of the biggest misconceptions that people can have about the Bible is that it's about them.
Yeah.
And then they start reading promises that God gave to a specific people group in a specific time and try to apply it to their lives.
Yeah.
And then they go on a whole deconstruction journey because they're like, oh, God didn't answer the prayer like he promised me he did. But in reality, he never promised you that. Like, right. that promise wasn't for you. It was for a given people in a given time.
Yeah.
And so if you jump straight to the application without knowing the context, yeah. then you're bound to give yourself expectations of God that he never promised to you. Yep. And yeah, that can be good. Really harmful to,
yeah.
that can be really disillusioning, and mm-hmm. it can be really hard to have a misunderstanding about who God is because of something that you read in the wrong way.
Yep.
And that's why Bible literacy is so important because it protects you from that. And yeah. it protects you from having misconceptions about God yeah. or the things that he's promising to you in your life.
Yeah, that's really good. Application too, I know for some people that might be the easiest part. It's yeah. like, oh, you don't have to explain it. I get it. But, you know, sometimes I just like to ask myself like a few category questions, because what I also want to make sure is that my application is actually reaching every area of my life.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I'll just ask myself, how should this change the way I think, change the way I pray, mm-hmm. change the way I speak, you know, like yeah. just like different things like that. So then, you know, the big one that I feel like sometimes we miss is, how should it change the way I pray?
Yeah.
Sometimes we have no problem with, how should this change the way I live, right? Yeah. That's where our yeah. minds go usually. But, you know, how should a certain text change the way you speak to God?
Yeah.
The way you ask for things.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good one. And, you know, application, I feel like we understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the biggest piece is exactly what you just said. It's just making sure it comes in the proper order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And something that I think too is helpful is, usually the way I kind of like frame it in questions is, observation is, what does the text say? Interpretation is, what does the text mean? And then application is, what does the text mean to me?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that can be kind of helpful for when you're thinking like, maybe you have other questions that fall in these categories in these sections that we didn't mention. And that's why I think those like three questions kind of help, like, well, what are we just doing in yeah. these three areas?
Yeah.
And I don't think it has to look a specific way, in the sense of, I don't think you have to do all of these every time you read the Bible, like in one day.
Yeah,
you could do observation for a few days or one day, and then you can move on for a few days, you know, like mm-hmm. whatever I think it looks like for you, however yeah. in depth you're wanting to go. So I think, like you said, there's freedom.
Yeah.
A minute.
Yeah. I've been going through a couple of the books of the Bible with my boyfriend, and all we do is like observation mm-hmm. is, we just send each other like, okay, we'll read it, and then we'll send our thoughts on it, and we'll yeah. just, and it's just as easy as that.
Yeah.
And that's been super, super fruitful. And so I also want to say that this is just one of many Bible study methods
yep.
that are out there in the world. This is what has been helpful for us. This yep. is what I use. And I would again like reiterate that this is for Bible study.
Yep.
So if you're just looking to intake the Bible, that's mm-hmm. still reading the Bible. And so
yeah.
that's just reading broadly, and you're just trying to get through it. You're mm-hmm. not taking the time to dig into everything, because I think that there's so much beauty and importance in that.
Yeah.
And same thing with Bible memorization. I think that's equally important and equally fruitful if you are just like reading repetitively to get
yeah.
a verse
yeah.
written on your heart. And
yeah.
so there's lots of different Bible study methods. This is the one that is helpful for us.
Yep.
These are the questions that have been helpful to us in our study, and I hope that that has made it a little bit more clear to you.
Yeah, yeah. So just maybe to wrap up, what book of the Bible would you send somebody, like, they're wanting to start maybe for the first time or take it seriously mm-hmm. for the first time, what book of the Bible are you sending them to? And if you have two, that's fine, but
yeah. I think everyone says John.
Everyone does say John, yes.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with John, because okay. I think that the beginning of John is kind of confusing. If,
yeah.
Like, assuming that you don't have any context,
if you have
anything,
zero outside information,
yes,
yeah, that's true.
If you're
true.
Just starting. So I think that, I don't know, I would recommend maybe an epistle.
Mm.
Like, if you're really just starting for the first time, an epistle I think is good, like Philippians or James, mm-hmm. because
James would be a good one.
James is good because it's very straight to the point.
Yep. It's short, it's practical.
It's short, it's yeah. practical. You're not going to mess up the observation or the interpretation or the application
right.
because he's pretty straight up. It's really easy to like jump in that context without like having
yeah.
any outside context. So I think an epistle is great if you're like really from a beginner
yep.
trying to figure out what it is. And then I would invite you to Genesis
mm-hmm.
and also a gospel. So
yeah.
I think probably my favorite personal gospel is Matthew,
yeah.
just because I love Matthew
and yeah.
I love the way that it connects the Old Testament to the New Testament.
Yeah.
And so I think that, again, that could be a little bit more challenging to start with if you don't know anything about
right.
the Old Testament. So I would say maybe Mark.
Yeah.
I think Mark is pretty pretty simple and pretty easy to jump into. Or yeah. Luke starts.
Yeah.
And I with a Christmas story, and yeah. I think that's a really great place to start when you're reading.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know I just took you through all four of the Gospels.
That's good.
I think I'm locking in Luke as my final answer. Okay, if you haven't read the Bible before, starting with Luke and then also an epistle and then trying to get back to Genesis as quickly as possible, because I think especially in the first like 13 chapters of Genesis, that is the foundations of the world, and that sets up a lot of the themes that are carried throughout the Bible. Yeah. So if you can, you know, go to an epistle, go to a gospel, and then start in Genesis and read Exodus, that's going to set you up super, super well to start reading the rest of the Bible and understanding it.
Yeah, I would second Genesis. It will be hard, but it's worth it. So I'll just say that. No one's expecting you to, like, get it right away. And then I would say if you haven't read before and you're really wanting to know, like, what the deal is with all of this, I would say Mark is usually what I walk people through when I like disciple someone for the first time. But I think Mark and Luke are so similar. Yeah, I think either one. And I think if you're familiar with the Old Testament, then Matthew and John, there's a reason why like Christians who have been Christians for years love those two. Yeah, but it's like you have to understand kind of what you're getting yourself into. So all of those are good places to start. And like we said, don't do it alone.
Yeah.
Just do it with someone. Yeah. So we hope this was helpful. Yeah. We do have, by the time this episode comes out, we will have a new booklet out kind of over everything we just talked about. So if you're wanting a resource for that, we will have that out. And we're excited about this season.
Yeah, it's going to be really great. And we're super prayerful too that it's helpful to you. And also, again, with so much love and so much grace, we just hope that this inspires you and gets you curious about the Bible on your own, for yourself, because you are smart, you are capable. God has given us this beautiful collection of literature, different kinds of literature, so that we can read it, so that we can use it, so that we can understand it. And I love what Paul writes when he says that his prayer to the Philippians is that they will grow in their knowledge and their love of the Lord, because you can't grow in your knowledge of the Lord without growing in your love for him too. So the more that you know about him, that he's given to us in his word, the more that you'll fall in love with who he is.
That's so true. It's good.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time, and we'll talk about other things about the Bible.
Yes,
I don't remember what episode 2 is right now, but like we're going to be talking about more stuff.
Yep, how to read the Bible. Yeah. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for that conversation. We hope you enjoyed it. If you're interested in finding out more, you can follow us on Instagram or head over to our website at thescripturesociety.com.